Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful day to be together. We welcome you to worship at College Park. A happy Mother's Day. So good to see everybody this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship this morning. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it reaches the last person, once you are done, if you could send it back to where it got started today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for helping us with that. Since it is Mother's Day, we have no Sunday evening stuff tonight. Just make note of that in your schedule. We are having children's time today, but that's a little bit different after the parent-child dedication, so just make note of that. We will have children's time. Reminder, we are headed to the Dash baseball game next Sunday afternoon. Today's the deadline to get those tickets. You can get that at the kiosk as you leave, or you can pay on the website. We need to find out who is going so we have enough tickets. Let's see. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make note of that. Several things are happening, upcoming events, opportunities for the week. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Guests, you've already given us your information, and we appreciate that very much. We'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a little bit of the history of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation. So thank you so much. We want to make sure we don't miss anybody here. There we go. Lots of guests today. Lots of guests. That's a good thing. It's a sweet time together when the babies come out to play and make noises. But it will mess with a mama's mind. Their baby is going to cry in the middle of the service. Jesus said, "Do not hinder the children from coming to me." We're supposed to be like kids, seeing God for who he is. No pretense, no fear, knowing that my dad's going to take care of me. That's how we should worship. No pretense, just he's our daddy who takes care of us, like our moms who provide for us. That's why we celebrate Mother's Day. Let us prepare for worship and pray together. God, we know you have given us great gifts and our mothers, the ladies in this church who take care of us from teaching us Sunday school to being prayer partners. Father, we thank you for all the ways the ladies of our church provide for us. It is a reflection of you, their love for you. We invite you into this place. We need you in this service to remind us of the gift of your presence and the gift of your love that our mothers reflect, and that Jesus showed us on the cross, a self-sacrificing love. So be in this place, we pray. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. This is one of those days that we really look forward to as a staff in our church life because, you know, we used to call it baby day, and then people got upset about this. It's not all about the babies. It's about the parents and everything. But let's face it. Let's be honest. This really is about the babies and their beautiful children, beautiful children. So we come this morning to have a time of dedication for them. And I want to read you a couple passages of Scripture that typically we read on a dedication day, parent-child dedication. And they're very appropriate. From Psalm 127, verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. And as Jeff has already referenced, Jesus had some very pointed words in regard to how we should regard children and the beauty of a child and the innocence of a child and the faith, the complete faith that a child offers. And in Mark chapter 10, there was a situation. And let me let you hear it from Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 13. It says, people were bringing children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That's a strong emotion. Read through the Gospels. You don't see that very often. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. What a beautiful image of just how much Jesus valued these precious children. And it's an indicator for us that we need to do the same. Amen? We need to value these children and support these parents as we are in this together. We're working together to raise these children in the knowledge of the Lord. And so as a covenant together, I invite you, in your order of service, there's a covenant of dedication. And we will enter into this covenant together. I will read the leader's part, the parents will read their part, and then we invite you to join with us in the bold print that's labeled people. We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God. Who brings them for this holy purpose?
We, the parents, do.
What do we affirm about these children? As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage? We will tell them about God who created the world, about Abraham and Sarah, the founders of our faith. About Moses, who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and mission of the church. What will we hope for in these children? We will look to the day when these children will gather with us at the Lord's table, when they will declare faith in Jesus the Christ, confirm the heritage which we will pass along, and come as adults to choose full commitment to God's will and work. Do you, as the parents of these children, assume your primary role for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations?
Yes.
And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for all of our children? Yes, we do, for they belong to us. Then may God be with us and help us. Amen. You'll notice that we have two baby boys, but we also have some accompanying children. And that's a beautiful thing. We wanted to include them as well because it's about family. It's about being together as family. And so that's why we have quite the lineup. It's very impressive looking, isn't it? It really is. All right, here we go. I'll let Dad hold there. Can you get one hand there? This is for Grayson. This is his Bible certificate. Help him remember today. And we're excited for y'all to be here for this. And for Noah, hey buddy, Noah's just taking it all. He's just asleep. That's probably a good. That's what most of them will look like in about 30 minutes. Okay, that's good. Let's have a prayer dedication together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It's a day that you've given us. It's a day that we celebrate because we celebrate the children that come into our care. And we say our because we accept the responsibility as the congregation, as the body of Christ, to include these children and help nurture them in their knowledge and understanding of who you are and how much you value them. May we be supporters and encouragers of these parents and siblings as we continue from this day forward. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Hey, I'm going to invite the kids. Come on down. Come on down. Y'all come take a seat. Crisscross applesauce right here for me. We'll wait for you. Come on, Rebecca. We'll wait. Come on, Jared. All right. Jared's always flying. All right. Crisscross applesauce. Now, does anybody, everybody knows what this is, right? A flower. Well, yeah, we're giving out flowers today. Now, how did this become a flower?
It grew from a seed.
It grew from a seed. How does it grow?
In the dirt.
In the dirt, yes. We put a seed in the dirt. What else do we do, Rebecca? Skylight, yes. What else? Water, right? Seed, dirt, water, sun,
rain.
The soil, and it becomes this beautiful flower. You know what this reminds me of? Now I want you to listen to me real close. Everybody's listening. This reminds me of you. You used to be really little, and now you're a lot bigger than you used to be. Your mommies, don't they give us something to drink? Water? They let us go outside and play because that's what we like to do. They hug us when we get hurt, and we grow up, don't we, moms, to be beautiful flowers. Some of us are more beautiful than others. Now, what we've decided to do is not only is it moms that help us grow up to become beautiful flowers, but it's also all the ladies who teach us Sunday school, all the ladies who pray for us, who cook food for us. So what we're going to do, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give this to your mommy and say Happy Mother's Day at the end of the service. You don't have to do it now. Okay, you need to say thank you, Mommy, for loving me. I want you to give this to her. Give her a big hug. Okay. And at the end of the service, we're giving all the ladies in our church a flower to say thank you for how much they love us and have helped us to grow up to be beautiful people in God's image. Okay? Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the moms, the grandmoms, the ladies in our church who help us to grow up from little bitty children like these babies that have grown up and learned about the Bible and learned about great stories about Abraham and Sarah and David, Nehemiah, Jesus. Thank you for all those who have taught us so that when we grow up, we can go and tell the world. God, we love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seats now. Good job.
pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day when we can come together to worship you. Thank you for our families and the ways they affirm and encourage us. Thank you for children and how they teach us about life in their own unique ways. We acknowledge that your love is perfect and unconditional, and that our ability to show love to others comes from you. Thank you for this family we call College Park Baptist. Help us to be salt and light to each other and to our community. We pray that you will take the offerings given today and multiply them so that others may know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I was in Wake Forest. I had a good friend. His first name was Ray, and I won't tell you his last name because I couldn't get in contact with him to find out if I could tell this story. So I never use their last name. But Ray was with me at Wake Forest. He was on the drum line with me. We had a great time. He's a great fella. And his philosophy in life was kind of interesting. Ray just kind of let things flow. I mean, never really got upset about things. I mean, we'd be in a tizzy about something, and Ray was like, "Oh, it don't matter. It don't matter." Everything was, it don't matter. I mean, he was a lot like a slightly more positive 20-year-old Eeyore. You know what I mean? Nothing really, just whatever. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It didn't matter to Ray. But, you know, I think he would agree. I think he would agree that there are some things that do matter, obviously. Scientists tell us that gravity matters. I mean, it does. theologians would tell us that Jesus matters, and of course, he does. According to all those survival shows that are on reality TV now, according to them, water, shelter, and fire matter. Some would say food, but water obviously is priority there. So you've got those. And so there are a lot of things that really do matter, and I would suggest one more to you. Moms matter. Amen? Moms matter. And to be a mom that matters, I mean, there's nothing, it defies description. And dads are saying, well, what about your month's next month? Okay, that's June. Okay, we'll get to dads next month. But for today, it's about moms and about moms that matter. And to be a mom that matters, I think it's past time. It is past time to quit basing our lives and our decisions on what the world may consider to be reasonable. What I mean by that, there's a trap, and it goes something like this. We get together and we're discussing a mother, we're discussing a decision that was made or a discipline or something like that, and then the comment is usually made something along the line of, well, you know what, no one would blame her if she dot, dot, dot. No one would blame her if she did this or said this, and I think that's such a low standard. I mean, is that how we're going to base our decision making for not only our children, but every generation that follows our children? Is that the standard we're going to use? Well, no one would blame her if, come on, people. We need a higher standard. We need a higher standard than that. We can do better with God's help. The world has pretty dismal standards. We are called above that. So instead of settling for good enough for the world, let's really be moms that matter. Shoot for the very best that God has for us and our family. Can we agree at least in principle on that? Moms, do your head this way. Dads, don't do anything. Just, okay. All right, very good. So how do we accomplish this? You say, okay, preacher, I'm with you at least in theory. How do we accomplish this? I think there are at least a couple ways. In the days BC, which means before computers, moms learned about being a good mom in at least a couple of different ways. The first one was that they learned from other moms. They learned from other moms, perhaps their moms. In 9 o'clock service, we exchanged stories about funniest things that our moms had ever said to us. And in the band, we had some stories circulating that were a little strange because a lot of times mom said funny things to us that she didn't mean to be funny. And when you laugh, you quickly find out from dad that was inappropriate, that it wasn't meant to laugh. It was a serious moment and you're not supposed to laugh. But moms say some funny things. They really do. But they say some deeply profound things. So we learn from our mothers. Both sometimes good and bad. The things that we want to do as a mom or things we don't want to do as a mom. I don't know how many of you at your point, young ladies, that you said, I'll never be like my mother. I will never say that to my children. I will never do that. Fast forward 20 years and you go, I've become my mother. So we learn from our mothers. We also learn from this community of faith, don't we? We watch other women, whether they're biologically mothers or not, they are certainly emotionally and spiritually mothers to all of our children. I tease Miss Jean about raising my kids. You know, those that are a part of their lives, that it's so significant. Here in this community of faith, perhaps in the community at large, we watch other mothers, see how they do things. We learn from them. We receive instruction. We receive encouragement from their experiences. I kind of dropped a bomb in 9 o'clock and I had to apologize to Jeff and Krista, but you know, we talk about the prayer partner ministry, which is a tremendous ministry for children to have students, to have someone that they're a prayer partner with. But I'm going to talk with Jeff and Krista about maybe coming up with a mom prayer partner, because you look around you at all the experience in this room. Motherhood experience. I would like to see some of you come alongside some of our young mothers and put your arm around them and say, baby, it's okay. They're going to outgrow that. You know, it's going to be all right. You know? So keep that, keep your ears open for that, because we need you. These young moms, they need you. They need your experience, your encouragement, your comfort for them. So we learn from our moms and we learn from other moms. That's kind of how we learn. There's another source of wisdom, I believe, about motherhood, and that is Scripture. Now, there's a lot of verses about being parents, being good moms. I mean, there's a lot of verses I could have pulled out for today, but I went back to Proverbs 31. You say, Raymond, I've heard that passage preached. I'm like, yes, I have too, and I've actually preached it several times. But usually what happens when we go to Proverbs 31, we start in verse 10. Because verse 10 and following, 10 to 31, is all those qualities that we want to make our sermon about, right? That's all the qualities. Here we go, right down the line. These are the qualities that we look for in a young lady that we want to be a wife, okay, or a mother, all right? And seldom do we hear a whole lot said about the first 9 verses. You may have a general statement about context. Well, understand, these things were said by King Lemuel to his son as he is trying to instruct him on how to look for a woman that will make a good wife and mother. Okay, that's generally all the context we lay out there. We just don't say a lot about these verses. But I want to read the first 9 verses. It says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him, O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Now you know why we don't preach it a whole lot, right? You say, go, wow, okay. And that is the context. And we could do 2 more sermons, but I'm going to spare you that. But go back to verse 1. This is the one I want you to see. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle, who taught him? His mother. You see, sometimes we put these verses in wrong context. We say, this is the teaching of a king to his son. And yes, it is. But where did the teaching come from? The king's mom. She taught him, and he in turn taught his son. But where did mom get them? Probably from her mom or her grandmother. Do you catch what's going on here? It's those oral traditions. It's those teachings that get passed down from generation to generation. Those teachings about who we are to be in relationship with one another, in relationship with God. Look at verse 1. His mother taught him. And he in turn passed on to his son. This was a mother, this was a mom that mattered. She cared enough to teach her son what to look for in a young lady. And he taught his son those same qualities. You see, this kind of teaching, that's the way it used to be back in the days before Dr. Phil and Oprah and The View and the rest of the quacks started teaching us about parenting. That's the way we did it back in those days. That's the way we should continue to do it. Moms teaching moms, moms teaching moms Scripture, sons teaching sons about moms Scripture. All of these things. My mom gave me instructions. Some of them scriptural, some of them I had suspect weren't. She gave me all kinds of instructions as to what it is that I should be looking for in a wife. What it is I should be looking for in the woman who would have children with me, have family. And you see, those weren't just spoken words. She lived it out in front of me. She modeled it for me. And I am always grateful. About a month ago, I went back to East Flat Rock for a funeral for one of the dads of one of our youth there. Great guy. Passed away much too quickly. But in the process of attending that funeral, I was able to reconnect with some of my youth who are no longer youth. All of them are parents as well now, too. And in visiting with all of them, I had a lady that came up to me, and I recognized her immediately. She was the wife of the band director that I had in junior high and high school. And she was a remarkable lady, still is. But her husband was killed when I was a senior in high school. We were down in Florida, as our family usually went to Florida over Christmas. And we were in Florida and heard that Marion Smith, my band director, had been killed about 20 miles from where we were. He was at his brother-in-law's ranch in a single-engine aircraft flight, and he and his son were killed instantly. And through the process of all of that, she was sharing, you know, the things that she had experienced through that again. And then she sat down and she said, "I want to talk to your mom and dad." I said, "Okay." So I took them back and she sat down beside my mom and dad, and she looked at my mom and she began telling her how that she and Marion, when they're probably about 10 years younger than my parents, she and Marion, when my sister and I were in high school, they used to talk often about how they wanted to be the kind of parents that my mom and dad were. She said, "I always admired the fact that you were so involved in your children's life, that you cared so deeply about the things that were important to them, that you helped them develop in the talents that God had given them," and just went on and on, really praising mom and dad. Well, mom started tearing up. Dad couldn't hear, so he's like, "What's she saying? What's that?" I'm like, "Dad, I'll tell you later." "I'll tell you later. It's good. It's good. It's all good." He saw mom crying, got a little concerned, okay? But through that whole process, really affirmed the involvement of parents in their children's life. If you're here and you're listening to me and you're a teenager, hang in there. I know you may not appreciate mom and dad being involved in everything, but you will. Maybe 10 years, maybe 30 years, I don't know, but there will be a point where you appreciate that, being involved. And as I listened to those words, I thought to myself, so evidently it isn't just Philip and I that think we have the best mom in the world. She does too, you know? And that was a good feeling. Moms involved in the lives of their children, not complacent, not satisfied to let others raise their children. Back in 2005, Reagan High School was just getting started. And there was a lot of flurry of activity out in Pofftown as that school began. Stan Elrod had left Reynolds High School to come out and be the first principal of Reagan High School. And I was involved very heavily in the athletic boosters out there. And there was a lot of activity. There was a lot of things going on and a lot of things happening very quickly as that school began to start up in the summer prior to that. And I remember at one point talking with Mr. Elrod and asking him how things were going and how I could help and anything else me and my family could do. And he put his arm around me and says, "Raymond, you know what? You know what the real blessing is out here? You know what the real blessing is?" And I says, you had me the first time. Go ahead. You know, "What's the real blessing, Stan?" He said, "Parents. So many parents involved." And then he looked at me and said, "You know what the curse is?" I said, "So many parents involved." He said, "Yes. So many parents involved." You see, it works both ways. Parents, be the kind that ministers and principals and school teachers and everybody else will say, "Oh, it is such a blessing to have them involved." Don't be that other kind, all right? Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. Be the kind that's positive, supportive, encouraging, not only of your children, but those that are dedicated to help raise your children. Because trust me, they're not doing it for the pay. They're not. Be those kind of parents. Be moms that matter. So if you'll allow me to make the assumption based on your body language and what we've discussed, I think we can agree then that having godly moms who place a priority on parenting is a blessing that almost defies description. Amen? It really is. I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think we can now settle in just a little bit and hear what these kind of moms, what these kind of women look like. And that's the part that's from verse 10 to verse 31. I invite you to hear it. You can read along with me. You can close your eyes and just hear the words. Picture, if you will. Some of these qualities will have a cultural disconnect, perhaps, for you. You say, well, ladies don't do that anymore. That's not available. That's okay. There's probably a modern equivalent of it. So let your minds relax and just take it all in and create pictures. Maybe of your mom in these roles. Maybe it's another lady that's significant in your life. Let it just kind of flow. Let your mind relax and see. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. And in her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. And she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. For charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, for the teaching of a mom to her son, who in turn passed it on to his son, who in turn passed it on for generations and generations and generations, so that we have it captured as a part of your word, we are truly thankful. It offers us an insight into what it means to give thanks for the ladies in our life, for our moms and other ladies that have been a part of shaping us into who you would have us to be. And we give you thanks for that. Father, we know and we understand that our nurture and that our instruction comes from so much more than just our nuclear family. That as the body of Christ, we're in this together. And we thank you for the privilege of allowing us to be together, to worship together, to learn together, to receive encouragement together. God, we know that you love us. You love us so much that you gave your son to teach us how to live. And we thank you for the fact that in his living and in his resurrection, that we can claim victory over death ourselves. We thank you for the promise of hope that's offered to us as taught by our moms, but also as taught by Scripture, of how much you love and care for us and how you desire for us to have life and life more abundantly. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the giver of life and life eternal, that's the most important thing you can do. That's the most significant decision you'll ever make in your lifetime. And so I invite you, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And I invite you, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, I'll be here at the front, be glad to talk with you about it. If for some reason you don't want to come down here, just call me this week. I'll meet you and we'll talk. That's the most important decision of your life. So that's the first priority. Second priority is if you are here and you're a believer and you're not perhaps living the life that you know you should live, the life that was taught to you that you should live by your mom or one of these other ladies or by instructions you received from Scripture, settle that with God this morning. In where you're standing, where you're singing, you can certainly talk with him. If you want to come here to the front, the altar will be open. You're certainly welcome to come pray here. I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you if that's what you desire. But get that settled today. Get back on track with God and what he desires from you. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. It is a pleasure and an honor to let you know that one of our young teenagers, precious child Sarah Groover, on one night of revival, prayed to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she announced that in the recreation service this morning, and I wanted to let you know about that so you can pray for her. She will be following the Lord's example in baptism the first Sunday of June, so I wanted you to know so you can rejoice when you see Sarah and her mom and dad and her brother, that you can rejoice with them. All right, will you do that? Very good. One other thing for you to do. If your moms are still living here on earth, call them this afternoon. Tell them thank you and I love you. and then whatever else you want to fill in along the way. Maybe funny stories, funny things she said, which may have been inappropriate at the time. You can pass that on and reminisce together. As you go from here, also, I encourage you to greet one another. We have family in visiting others, and be sure and meet these people and extend a warm word of encouragement. Have guests that are with us for the first time moving into there. Be sure and greet them. Extend that College Park welcome. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It is truly a blessed day. It's an opportunity for us to praise you and to thank you. Father, it's an opportunity to acknowledge the gift of our moms and how they have touched and blessed our lives. Father, as we go from this place, help us to be the kind of people that are constantly thankful, that we exude that sense of joy and thanksgiving that we should. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.